Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Hey, and good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to catch our drift. Joining me in studio, Ipsy Edge Bondurant.
And it is a good Saturday afternoon. The rain has stopped. The sun is out. Yes.
Michigan's playing Michigan State.
Yeah.
Can't do better than that, right, Derek? Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm going to be there tonight in the press box.
I'm thinking about joining my buddies Pat and Joe and Paul down on the golf course for a couple of beers maybe after the show. So maybe we'll get down there and check it out. But I don't know. I'm feeling a little lazy at this point. So I don't know that I want to go search for a place to park and do all that stuff and then walk a couple miles to get to the...
If you see me on Belleville Lake, wave.
Yeah, well, I might just do that too because it is a nice day. And I got to get the boat prepped to come out of the water, you know. So
where? Where would you do that?
On the lake.
No, where would you get it prepped?
Oh, that would... Not the sponsor of this half hour, but nice segue.
Okay, sorry.
Nice segue.
The news you need to know. Oh, did I come in wrong then, too?
Yeah, I think you did. All right. Anyways, all right, well, let's take care of a little business. J&M Landscaping Tree Division. Winter is coming, snow is coming, and it's time to get those trees and branches down. So make sure you do it before the snow and ice hits. 248-640-7029. 248-640-7029. Call Jason. There's a 20% off first-time customer discount coupon in the Current. Ooh. So check it out. You can go to currentonline.com, CourantOnline.com, and check out all the ads for our advertisers. And then you can always go to j_m_landscaping at yahoo.com and just email Jason, and he'll come out and give you a free estimate of what it takes to remove a tree. Did a great job. Took a giant tree down in my backyard 18 months ago, 2 years ago now. And did a fabulous job.
So, you need to be in control. You need to say when the branches come down, not Mother Nature.
Yes, because you know what? The insurance company won't come out and do it ahead of time. You would think they would look at a tree and say, yeah, that better come down before it breaks your house up. But they don't forward think like that. That's why they lose money. Anyways, do they lose money?
No, they don't
lose money.
They raise the rates.
We're getting jacked all the time by those professional house gamblers. That's what they are, right? Okay, so I wanted to start out because we got allegedly – Congressman Wahlberg calling in at the 1:30-ish hour, so hopefully we'll get his monthly update. It's the first Saturday of the month. Yep. October already. Where does time go?
Behind us. It always goes behind us.
I know. It does. It does. Well, we're going to start out with the Vegas shooting because that happened the day after our show, last week. And
But we didn't have anything to do with that.
We had nothing.
Causality or anything.
I was not in Vegas. I did not fly to Vegas. I had nothing to do with it. But I'm putting my tinfoil hat on. You were already saying you were going to shape me a tinfoil hat. Because, you know, once again, people are saying, oh, it's a single shooter. He's just psychotic, blah, blah, blah. I think there's more to the story than that. And one of the first things that struck me was why two windows broken out.
Mm-hmm.
On either end of the suite
that
Mr. Paddock had on the 32nd floor.
Both facing the same direction.
Yes. And, you know, it struck me, and I'm like, no biggie. But I want to start out with Sheriff Lombardi, who is Lombardo. Sorry,
Mr. I'll remember it either way. Go ahead. I know who you're
talking
about.
Anyways, Derek, you got that track right. This is kind of a long track, but I want you to listen. Because he's very good, number one. But he's going to give us the timeline, because a lot of people don't understand the timeline and what happened. This was a very quick event from the violence standpoint of it. Derek, you got it? Let's play this.
So at 10:05, the first shots fired by the suspect. This was seen on closed-circuit television from the concert venue. 10:12, first two officers arrived on the 31st floor and announced that gunfire is coming from directly above them. 10:15, last shots were fired from the suspect per body-worn camera. So if you're looking at the math, 10 minutes. 10:17, the first two officers arrive on the 32nd floor. 10:18, security officer tells the LVMPD officers he was shot and gives the exact location of the suspect's room. Now you notice a minute delta there. Before they broadcasted it, obviously they were in a conversation with the security guard immediately upon them exiting the elevators. Between 10:26 and 10:30, eight additional officers arrived on the 32nd floor and began to move systematically down the hallway, clearing each room and looking for any injured people. They moved this way because no longer hear the gunfire of the active shooter situation. 10:55, eight officers arrive in the stairwell at the opposite end of the hallway nearest the suspect's room. So when I say nearest the suspect's room, you can imagine the doorway of the hotel room. This stairwell and this door access is approximately 2 to 3 feet away. 11:20, the first breach was set off and officers entered the suspect's room. They observed the suspect down on the ground and also saw a second door that could not be accessed from their position. So it's a suite, and you have a main area of the suite, which is a living room, kitchen, dinette area, and then on opposite ends of that is two bedrooms. I'm sorry, where did I leave off? Somebody yell it out.
I know how that feels.
Yes.
Okay, so if you do the math on that, all the way up to 11:20 from 10:05, we're looking at 75 minutes. So the young lady here in the front with the red phone, you had mentioned 72 minutes, so now you see where those minutes came from. Okay? At 11:27, the second breach was set off, allowing officers to access the second room, and no one else was located within the hotel room. Okay, these are following extenuating circumstances as to why it may appear that there was some delay or undue delay in reaching the suspects.
Stop. Okay. Play that last 5 seconds again.
In extenuating circumstances as to why it may appear that there was some delay or undue delay in reaching the suspects.
Play the last 2 seconds, 3 seconds again. You can't get it. Okay.
The suspects.
Suspects.
Yes.
Okay? Suspects. So, you go back to the beginning. Why two broken windows in the suite? Why, when they breached the first time, found the body where he was shooting from, they could not access the other part of the suite? Door locked? They couldn't access it. So they wanted to breach it from a secondary. I don't know if there is a secondary door.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the two broken windows were in the same part of the suite, the living room, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. I'm just asking the question.
Part of our problem is we don't know, and we only know what we're told. Yes. There's where the foil hat comes in.
Yes, and I can completely understand if the feds don't want to say anything about a second shooter because, you know what, maybe the second shooter or whoever's behind it, they don't want them to know that we know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my question would be, where was the security guard, the hotel security guard who responded shot? Was he shot through the same door of the same room where Stephen Paddock was? Or was he shot in the hallway? Where was he? I'm just asking questions. You know what I mean? I don't know why there's two windows broken. I don't know why he would say, Sheriff Lombardo is a professional. He said suspects quite clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's enough to make me think. Now, Lombardo has been giving other kind of insinuations along the way with many of his press conferences. In the same press conference, he's talking about this guy spending decade prepping and buying guns. Well, most of the guns were bought in the last 12 months, I think. So when he says decades, he probably bought his first gun years ago. Who mm-hmm. knows what he was – and was the man obviously unbalanced in some fashion? I completely agree. The man is a psychotic. Anyone that's going to turn on their own people and shoot like that makes him a psychotic.
Or a Democrat. Democrats have been turning on fellow citizens since Fort Sumter.
Yes. And, you know, and it's funny. There was a tweet the other day that someone put out, and it had a list of all the shooters, you know, and they were all Democrats. And I kind of thought to myself, ooh, isn't that kind of ugly?
That's why I responded with the Fort Sumter comment.
Yeah. So it's very strange. If you've got some, you know, question me, call me a wacko, tell me to put my tinfoil hat away, whatever you want. I think my spider senses are tingling. I've got, you know, and then they talk about ISIS. ISIS has got a pretty good record of when they claim somebody, it is this, right? Because they have not been out there just claiming everybody is one of their people. They, when they claim, normally, I think Rush has covered it, I think Bill Bennett's covered it, I think a lot of people have covered it, that when ISIS makes the claim, they're normally correct.
Yeah. Yep.
Right? We got a call from Joe in Wyandotte. Joe, welcome to the show.
I see where you're going with that. Well, number one, the second window was in a one of the bedrooms of the two-bedroom suite.
Okay, so stop. So stop. Hold on. Stop.
Angle.
Stop. Okay, so you just said the second window was in one of the bedrooms, not in the suite part. Is that what you just said?
That's what I just said.
Okay, and when the cops entered, they could not access that other room.
I see.
They had to breach it from another way. So what's that? That kind of lends credence to me, Joe, is the way I'm looking at it. Who was in the other room? Was the person in the other room that shot Stephen Paddock? Maybe he didn't self-administer his own death. You know what I mean? Maybe somebody shot him to keep him quiet and cover the tracks. I'm just saying. I know I got my conspiracy head on.
Well, I'm just curious. Are you sure about that second window being in another room? Because I can't follow half of what anything's going on with much accuracy here. I hear all kinds of conflicting stuff. One thing I heard was that in Paddock's room, you know, his section, there wasn't enough brass on the floor.
I'd heard that too.
You know, to suggest that he had fired that many shots down into the crowd. And they didn't go out the window because that's not the way you shoot out a window. You poke the barrel and the forestock out the window. You don't put the whole pistol grip out the window.
Well, yeah. There's two things. Now, let's finish up this one. So the second suspect, the way you're reading it, shot Stephen Paddock, then went back and locked himself in the room and beamed out before the police breached it.
Now, why would you say that? I don't know that when you leave a hotel room, the door locks behind you. They didn't say it was barricaded. They breached it like they would in any SWAT situation, I'm assuming. But I'm merely asking the point. Did the second guy shoot Stephen Paddock as he was leaving, shoot the security guard? I would like someone to see the security guard. No. We haven't heard his view yet, have we? Have you?
Well, he's obviously in on the conspiracy if the police don't know there was a second shooter for sure.
If there is, they would tell him not to say anything. But we have not seen any interviews with him, have we?
But my main reason I called was your use of the word suspects, which was the sheriff's word. It's as in apostrophe S, as in the possessive, as in his room, not as in the plural.
No. Derek, if we get a chance, let's play it again, because I looked at that, Joe, because a couple minutes later he talks about suspect's room with the apostrophe. That the apostrophe's got nothing to do with that first statement when he says suspects. 5 seconds later, he mentioned suspects, meaning ownership of the room. But we'll get Derek to play it again.
Times, but now, I don't deny that he may have had some sort of accomplice, but that's a far stretch and cry from there is a second shooter conspiracy.
Yeah, I'm just asking. I have no idea. I can't prove it. All I'm saying is my spider senses are tingling. There's something very odd about this. And according to Sheriff Lombardo, the note was not a suicide note. Okay? That's online. You can read it.
And, you know,
well, we heard something
there may
about
have been
numbers, a list of numbers, that this may be the piece of paper, some cryptic list of numbers. He was gambling. Who knows? Maybe those were roulette numbers he was going to play.
The lotto. He's going to play the lotto.
That's right. He was getting ready to play the lotto, too. Yeah, I don't know. Joe, I'm not saying that there definitely was a second shooter. All I'm saying is,
well, wait, it
something
might not,
seems odd.
Second suspect is not the same as second shooter.
Yeah, and
there may have been only one shooter. It may not have been Paddock if you want to go down this route.
Yeah, exactly. All I'm saying is having the two windows, and when they breach the room and he's dead already, and the other room is they have to breach because they couldn't access it from the suite, mm-hmm. tells me why if he's a single guy, would he lock a door to one of the bedrooms got a broken window in it?
Thank God you're not gone into the fifth floor magic bullet shooter who shot magic bullets that went through the glass without leaving any hole.
And we're glad you're not bringing it up either. Thank you for not bringing it up. Appreciate that, Joe.
Yeah, I'm just saying, two broken windows, two separate parts of the suite, and when they tried it, they had to breach the second room, right? Why would Stephen Paddock lock himself from the other room? Why would he take the time?
Well, what I want to know is, if he set up a video surveillance of the hallway and of the doorway so that he could see who's approaching. What did he care in the middle of shooting? What did he think he was going to do? That's one. You know, oh, they're here. I might as well. Now it's the time to kill myself. I won't wait for them to do it. Now they're here. I'll kill myself. Two, was there audio video on that surveillance? And if so, was there any audio that's available to law enforcement that they're not talking about or reflections on other surfaces that would show that there was only one person in that room or yeah. two?
All right. Well, Joe, we got the calls coming in, so we're going to let you go, Joe, on this one.
All right. And, have a good one.
And we'll take the next one. And thanks for telling me about my tinfoil hat, Joe. Jeez. All right. Let's take a call from Jimmy in Manchester. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Jimmy, tell me I'm not crazy.
Oh, I don't think you're crazy. I think
that makes two of you.
The other window could have been breached by the police when they threw the flashbang in there and broken the window.
Yeah, that's possible. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there. But anyway, I wanted to give you a little update on the Antifa people.
Thank you.
I've met more since this has gone on, and they are frightened. They are starting to worry about being recode. And I said, look, the best thing that you could recode.
Thank you.
You know what reco
is? Yeah, I got reco. Yeah, I said repoed. I thought they were owned by somebody and they were going to be taken away. But reco, as in Corruption Act. Yeah, whatever.
Joe, I'll tell you this.
If somebody else does something and you're involved with that organization, they can arrest you too.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Joe. They can put me in jail. I will hide his identity. If they want to put me in jail for hiding his identity, if he comes into this station,
or calls
he can wear a bag over his head. Tell him to put a Halloween mask on. It's Halloween, baby. Tell him to come in.
Like,
he can put a mask on.
Comic, right?
Exactly. I think maybe Linda and Theron can find us a way to hide his. Derek, is there a way to change somebody's voice?
I've actually met more through him.
Okay.
That are concerned, that are starting to, you know, hey, this isn't cool. What these people are doing, what is going on, is the language has changed completely.
Oh, come on. We got to talk to one of them, if it's...
I know. That's what I've been trying to explain to them, too. And I'm like, look.
Tell them I'll give them $100.
You need to go public with this because that...
You got to match the $1,500 they got to join.
I'll give them $100 if he comes in. That's a freebie.
You know, I want to... I was at a buddy of mine's shop.
You don't pay them $100. They might do it for that.
I'll pay them $100. I think that kind of ruins it because then people go, they got paid to say that.
Well, see, no, we can't do that.
Yeah.
No, we can't do that because that would be that they would be able to.
Yes. Well, you can tell them this, Jimmy. We will have these Antifa people come in.
What you just admitted to is racketeering. We're going to RICO you now.
Hey, I wanted to...
Just trying to get the info out there, baby.
I wanted to mention that, you know, you've got your Antifa guys, and I was in my buddy's shop doing some work for him, and a trucker for one of the companies he deals with comes in the office and starts talking to him. I was actually in my office next door, and I overheard the conversation. And this guy, I couldn't believe this, big black guy, veteran U.S. military, and we actually got him to the point in our discussion where he's ranting against Trump. Why is Trump playing golf while they're suffering in San Juan? And we got him to the point where he actually said he hated the United States. This is a U.S. military veteran, served in Europe, and he actually hated the United States. He hates what the United States does. And I'm wondering, where does this come from? Who are these people?
Tell them to move to Canada. That's what I tell them to do.
Well, I mean, I almost punched him out. I had to walk away. I mean,
to be fair, I hate some of my government's policies, but I don't hate my country.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's exactly right.
There you go.
Right. Yeah.
And the idea is to change the policy, and that's what these guys are starting to see. They're like, oh, we see what you are saying. You're saying that the is wrong, not so much the country. Exactly.
Are you having an influence on them then? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, I think I do.
Praise God.
I do have influence.
Good man.
Well, these people, please also understand, these people were doing this for a job. They were trying to make money.
Yeah.
So they're entrepreneurs in a way. So they're not the same, and they're willing to work. They're willing to show up and work.
Yeah, they have an American ethic, but
there's a big difference between that person and the average Antifa idiot that lives in his mom's basement.
Right, that's an important distinction. That's an important distinction.
All right, Jimmy. Well, thanks for the call. Keep working on them. See if you can get one of them to come in and talk to us. I will do my best to hide their identity.
The idea, the key to this is you've got to expose it so that you don't get caught up in it. That is, and don't ask me how I know. Steven Crowder got that guy embedded. The guy that walks up and says, I can get you sawed-off shotguns, I can get you AKs and what have you, that guy's a federal agent, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not that complicated to figure out. I don't need a slide rule. I don't need to be Patrick Kobach and a rocket scientist to figure this out.
Got
to
go, Jim.
Okay, thanks, right, Jimmy. We'll appreciate the call. Ahead. Take care. And let's take a call from Greg in Canton, who's got his own ideas on the Vegas shooting. Greg, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I appreciate the fact the sheriff used the plural word. As near as I can figure, there's at least three shooters, maybe more. Because you had the guy whose body was found high up in that building. There's video with muzzle flashes out of maybe the 10th floor of that building. If you look at video of that building the next day, there's like five windows broken out, a couple up high and one on about the 10th floor and one maybe a few floors up. But there's like five windows broken
out.
That's
news to me.
Really? Where did you see that at, Greg? Was that on some video?
It's on YouTube.
Oh, okay. Can you send me a link?
Yeah, I'll try and do that.
Okay.
But also, in terms of what the people did, you'd think, okay, these are Americans, half of them are carrying guns or used guns. Why wouldn't they run away? Apparently there was a shooter the other direction from the hotel, and they could hear gunfire both ways. They didn't want to run into a gun, so they didn't know which way to go. And there was one guy that said he and his girlfriend were running away from the hotel where the guy was up high, and she got shot in the leg from the front. So they were running away from the hotel, and they got shot from somebody that was further away shooting back at them.
Right.
And shot her in the front of the leg.
Well, there is building echo, and there are ricochets. So, that may be true. It may not be true.
I understand we now have U-turn bullets ever since the JFK thing. And this might have been a U-turn bullet, but if it wasn't a U-turn bullet,
yeah. Well, I will say this, Greg. There's enough questions in my mind, and I can understand why the government may not want to put everything out, especially this quickly. Because if they're looking for second or third suspects, the less that they know that we know, the better off we're going to be, right?
There was another hotel about a mile and a half down the strip where the front of that got machine gunned about the same time. There's a video there of another lady that says she and her husband were in the lobby when somebody machine gunned that, and they all had to dive for cover from the flying glass and stuff. I don't know if you got a U-turn bullet that can come out of the 32nd floor, go down a mile and a half, make the right hand turn, and hit a building.
Right. Right.
Well, we know the CIA has those.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
All right. Well, great call, Greg. Call again, man, and send me that link if you can, Gary@thedailydrift.com. Okay. All right. Take care. Thanks for the call. All right. Well, all I'm saying is there's some questions.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding.
And I firmly believe that there is more than one guy. This was not just a random psychopath millionaire who decided that I'm going to buy 100 guns and bring 23 to the hotel and shoot them and bump stocks and everything else besides the point. You know, if you want to get into bump stocks, we can certainly get into it. Maybe we can talk bump stocks.
Yeah, I do want to ask him where he stands on that, because I don't want one of my rights whittled away whatsoever.
Yeah, I years ago when I bought my first semi-automatic rifle, it had that little trigger bump thing on it, and it didn't work worth a bean. I tore it off. I'm like, what idiot put that on there?
You know? I put hand cranks on all mine. You just turn it like an egg beater, and it pulls the trigger.
Hey, you got yourself a Gatling gun, baby.
You got it, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's sheer craziness. Well, if you have problems hearing, the hearing clinic is sometimes the best thing to do.
You know, your bump fire will do that to you, too.
When you're shooting a lot of bump fire rifles, yes, you're going to have that problem. I'm trying to find my hearing clinic ad in front of me, and I can't find it. Why does that happen to me? Anyways, this is the end of the show.
I'll get her
on the other side. Yes. All right, so stay tuned. We'll catch you on the other side.
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Joe Pags, Fayrone X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com. whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carol McHugh. A car plows into pedestrians along a London sidewalk.
In one of London's busiest areas, West London, South Kensington, Natural History Museum, 2:20 p.m., a car veered off the road onto the sidewalk, knocking down pedestrians, injuring 11 of them, and then crashing into another car. Now, fortunately, that driver was pulled out of his vehicle. He was pinned down by passers-by, and he has now been detained. Cordons around the area. Police helicopters overhead.
Fox's Benjamin Hall. Police now saying it's not terrorism. Hurricane Nate gathering strength as it churns towards the Gulf Coast.
The one thing we have going for us here is that it's moving very, very fast, so it doesn't have a lot of time over water to continue that strengthening.
Fox meteorologist Rick Reichmuth. Nate's a Category 1 hurricane and is expected to track northeast over the next few days. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing care facilities you've ever seen. All WellBridge locations offer a resort-like atmosphere, and their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. Here's former patient Evelyn Danielson from Brighton.
It was excellent. It wasn't only just the physical part of it, doing your exercises with them. It was the RNs, even down to the kitchen people that came in and said, "What can we fix you? What do you like? We'll try to do it for you." And everything with a smile, I couldn't get over. I would heartily recommend WellBridge.
For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge. In Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney, now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team, WellBridge invites everyone to learn more about them at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
It's been 5 years since we met Kelly Brighton, just before her weight loss surgery.
I was almost 300 pounds. Because of the Michigan Bariatric Institute, I've lost the weight. I now have the tools to keep it off. I am a better mom, I am a better wife, and I'm just a better Kelly Brighton, I think.
Begin your journey. Try a free monthly educational seminar at St. Joe's Livingston. Visit stjoeshealth.org/MBI to learn more.
And welcome back to The Drift. Listen to a little extended music there. Sorry, I was trying to pull my act together here in the studio, and I'm just not up to par today. Not feeling quite the
was
way I should.
Was it the trip you took?
I did go to Mexico. Spent 3 days in Mexico for work. And let me assure you, people, if living here in this country, the worst parts of our country are far better than the best parts of Mexico. That's all I'm going to say. So let's do our sponsor this half hour.
Can I say the news you need to know? Will you lead into that? I'm feeling kind of
go to the dailydrift.com. It's
the news you need to know.
All right, there you go. See, did we miss that at the beginning?
No.
Okay. If you're going to get your boat taken out of the water like I am, you can go to Max Marina. 248-486-8300 is the service center in South Lyon. They can pick up your boat, take it away, get it ready for winter, and they do pontoon restoration for $2,000. I got a special for pickup, delivery, and rig restoration. 248-486-8300, and that's located Whitmore Lake, South Lyon area. Get your boat done.
They do shrink wrapping too, right? Even if you keep it in your driveway, you know, take it in, have it shrink wrap, bring it back.
Yes, yes. Oh, let me finish the hearing clinic because I screwed up last hour, right? If you're having some issues, you can get a free hearing test. Yes. Amy Arnold is doing some tests. You can call her 810-225-2205. Take care of your hearing because, you know what, you need to be able to hear, right? Okay, well, let's take care of the real show. We've got Congressman from the 7th District, U.S. Congressman Tim Walberg calling in. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be with you. Welcome back to the country.
Yeah, I tell you, Tim, when you come into the continent, I thanked all our TSA and our DHS guys when they came in, or when I came in through the country, and they were all very spectacular. We got those kiosks now, which is really helpful, but the guys bringing us in and checking us out were all very polite. They were helpful, and I thanked them for protecting us, because that's what they do.
But he had to take a two-hour bus ride, and I thought I was going to have to do a GoFundMe or do the show by myself.
I was a little worried traveling in Mexico. Let me tell you. But so, Tim, what do you got? Before we get into the questions that we have for you, what do you got? Anything that you wanted to bring out to the constituents?
Well, I think the key thing, as we just still try to take in the evil that took place earlier in the week in Las Vegas, it's almost incomprehensible that there can be that type of person who's willing to get up and just indiscriminately shoot hundreds of people and take the life of 58 innocent people on the ground there for apparently thus far no reason at all other than madness. But I wish the law enforcement agencies, as they continue to work on this and try to get to some conclusion on it, all the very best. But the families, we keep them in our prayers. So that, I mean, that overshadows almost anything else this week, except for the fact, you know, there were some things that took place, and you asked me about them. And the key thing is we got the budget bill out of the House this week. A budget is just a roadmap. It never ends up being exactly what we do with the appropriations spending packages, and we passed our entire 12-bill spending package 2 weeks ago on time, on budget, and sent that to the Senate where it still sits. But the tax bill, the tax reform bill, we want to use reconciliation on, so we don't have to have a 60-vote requirement in the Senate. So we passed the budget yesterday, which gave us reconciliation opportunity again for the tax reform bill. And so as pretty much as we speak, the Ways and Means Committee is working even over the weekend to start getting this budget bill, the tax reform bill together, so that before the end of the month, it's the plan of the Speaker of the House and the President that the House will have passed the tax reform bill and sent it to the Senate. They'll be working on it as well. The House, the Senate, and the White House so far are on target together in moving it forward. There'll be some arguments here and there, as they must be, but we feel very confident we're going to get it done. The President's going to sign a tax reform bill, the first one since 1986, Reagan. He'll sign that before the end of the year. And before I forget, and love to answer more questions on it, but there's been a lot of misinformation put out there, and one specific tax policy organization, which isn't a true tax policy organization. It's an arm of the Democrat Party. They've never been supportive for real tax reform and tax cuts, and now they're trying to play themselves off as understanding what this proposal is. And one of my friends and colleagues in the House, Peter Roskam from Illinois, said that that tax policy is trying to tell us what is in the tax reform package, since they don't have the details in front of them. It's like making a decision on a movie by just reading the posters about it. So the bottom line is they're saying we are bumping up taxes for everybody, specifically the lower income brackets and the middle income. That's absolutely false. And let me say it again so your ears hear that from me. It is absolutely false. We're taking no bracket up. We're moving every bracket down, including the 10% bracket where it is now. We're moving it to zero. Zero. So there's four tax brackets, 0, 12, 25, and 35, as it sets right now. All of them at those brackets have been brought down from 39 to 25, from 25 15 to 12, ultimately 10 to 0, with a standard deduction being bumped up to $12,000 for an individual and $24,000 for a couple.
Tim?
That's where we're at.
Are we going to still be making payments to people who have not paid taxes?
We're going to attempt to not do that. We're not going to charge them. We're not going to charge low-income taxes, but we're doing away with most of the exemptions, deductions, et cetera, very, very clearly some of the highest bracketed people are able to take advantage of through good tax attorneys and using those special sweetheart deals that have been in the tax code in the past. Those are going away, except for a few very important ones, and I mean a few. That's all. So really, in a sense, there will not be that situation where people who don't pay taxes, unless, of course, they are extremely low income, get dollars put back to them.
Yeah, so we can do all that we want, Tim, and you guys have done your job, but it's still going to go to the House or to the Senate, and Mitch McConnell's going to, as you said, you guys have to use that process, reconciliation.
Which I'd like to hear more about.
Which absolutely drives me insane. I'm so sick and tired of a weak, pathetic Mitch McConnell and the Republicans in the Senate who will not use 51 votes. Just get it done. Stop playing around. The Democrats would have done it to us. I don't know why they're so cowardly that they won't just do it.
Well, I think it's going to take the American people really showing their anger. Let's call it righteous indignation against this going on. We know, you and I both know, that the Democrats get the opportunity to be in the majority again, filibuster is gone. And for some of my Republican colleagues, some of the most conservative colleagues that you would expect to understand that, for some reason are thinking like minority status already, when Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and others say, well, there might be some time we're back in the minority and we'll hope to have a filibuster opportunity. Well, they're not going to have that. And if that's the case, they're already thinking like the minority. I've always felt that if you do your job, you do what you told the people you're going to do, it has the impact that they expect to have on them, they're going to keep being the majority. So act like a majority now.
Yes.
And move forward. If Chuck Schumer was working, in a productive way within the system, being a loyal opposition, as it's supposed to be. There's supposed to be a cooling off time in the Senate. If he was just doing that, that'd be one thing. But Chuck Schumer is acting like a majority leader and stopping any progress from moving forward at all, or more importantly, any debate.
Right. Yeah.
And it's time to end that. But we don't have that. The only ones that can end it are the senators. And so I would encourage your listeners to call, to email our senators and any other senator you can email or write to. I don't expect that Debbie Stabenow or Gary Peters will listen to that, but nonetheless, write them anyway and let them know the exasperation that's out there of people that don't mind us having debate, but want something to happen. You just can't stonewall. In the House, we can't, and that's why right now there are 274 bills as of today. Well, in fact, maybe I think it's about 276 now, because we did pass the pain-capable abortion prohibition bill this past week, and we did pass the tax, budget bill as well. So those are sitting over in the Senate waiting for action. They need to get to it.
Yeah. All right. So with the shooting in Vegas now, Tim, we're getting the calls, typical calls from the left to limit magazine size, to get rid of bump stocks, to get semi-automatics taken away, all those crazy, and it drives me insane because we all know that, you know what, if a criminal is not obeying current laws, what makes you magically believe that he's going to obey another law?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, a bump stock is something I've just been learning about, and I've been around guns pretty much all my life and enjoy outdoor sports and hunting and trap shooting, etc. But I had not, I don't think, ever heard of what a bump stock is.
Yeah, well actually, I had. Yeah. I've been aware of them for about 5 years now. And the first they were banned by the ATF, and then the ATF ruled in their favor because on a technicality, it's still one pull, one bullet. And I'm afraid that if Congress were to act against that, were to try and restrict that, that the language in that law may impact other regulations, other you know, collateral damage to the Second Amendment. Say, okay, we'll give them bump stocks. And then you got to define what a bump stock is. And next thing you know, they're going to want us to surgically alter our fingers so we can't pull the triggers fast enough.
Well, we're going to do our best to make sure that that doesn't happen. And I appreciate the NRA coming out and showing a willingness to say, let's let the ATF look at this thing.
I don't. What they're
going to find out, though, they're going to find out that this does not fit the legal definition of fully automatic. And I think that's why even under the Obama administration, bump stocks weren't classified as illegal because of being automatic.
Right.
They are not, and if people go online, they can see how they work, and really, you're absolutely right. The simplest definition is it just gives a manual assist to your finger to pull, and it was originally purposed for disabled people so they could have that additional mechanism to support their desire to use firearms.
Right.
So we'll see what happens, but there is a strong resolve. I think I can, you know, you never say never, but on this one, I think I can say it's close to never say never. The support of Second Amendment in Congress and on a bipartisan fashion is pretty, pretty strong.
Good.
And we are going to push back against doing something just as a knee-jerk to a single individual who used this for the first time in a very negative way. And you're absolutely right. If we take away bump stocks, they are very simple to build on your own to do the same thing. And the criminals will not be deterred. If that's what they want to do, they can build their own bump stock probably far more easily than doing the mechanical altering of a semi-automatic with a firing pin and all the rest. But
right.
You can go online, sadly, and you can read how to do that too.
So we can count on your vote. We can count on your vote not to restrict. I hate to say, I don't care for a bump stock personally. But first they came for the Jews, then they came for the, you know, and I said nothing.
Well,
first they're coming for the bump stocks.
We're going to look at it. We're going to look at it, and we're going to let ATF do what they're supposed to do first, and I think that's where it goes. We'll certainly probably have hearings on it. I've heard of those already. But Dianne Feinstein's bill is not moving, and there'll be a lot of discussion on it. And I think once we have that, American public will have a better perception of it, and I think by and large they will be again strongly supporting Second Amendment, and let's not take any chance of altering that.
Yeah. So were you happy, Tim, with the president's response to Vegas? I have not even seen any critique from the left really on this one.
That's because it was a good response. They're always talking about it wasn't presidential or it is presidential. Well, it was presidential, but more than that, it was patriotic, pointing out the atrocity that went on, but this is not going to deter Americans from being American. And to see the heroism of Americans who joined together to assist, to help, to save lives, and some to give their lives so that others could live, that's what he pointed to. So I think, again, that's why Jimmy Fallon and others aren't attacking him on that issue. They're trying to find other things to attack him on, and because he's moving forward and he's being aggressive and he's taking a stand as American president and in very unusual ways, because we've become used to a president like Obama out there apologizing as opposed to saying to the world, you will apologize to us if you get on the wrong side.
Yeah.
It's a good difference.
Yeah. Thank you.
So 9 months in, Tim, the president's agenda has been stymied quite a bit on Obamacare repeal, on getting tax reform done. We kind of thought all these things would happen very quickly, and unfortunately they have not. Are you still supporting the Trump agenda as we get through 9 months now?
Oh, absolutely, and he's supporting ours. They coincide. And in the House, I again point to the fact we've done everything that Trump wanted, and we've done everything we wanted so far, except getting a health care reform bill to his desk, and that's the Senate's problem. The same with Dodd-Frank. We passed Dodd-Frank repeal, which the people wanted us to do. And that sits in the Senate without moving. But
yeah,
we've done that. But if you look at the other things that's accomplished that allows a bullish market, the stock market to continue, a 3% GDP growth, which we didn't see during the past administration. And now it continues to look like it's very stable and going to continue moving because of the optimism in the markets, optimism in the business. The job providers are still optimistic. And I think that's a good thing, and that's because of the policy that we've had. No, The tax reform proposal was never meant to go much sooner than this, because we knew we had to get through the other items first. We wanted to get through the Obamacare repeal so we'd have an extra almost $1 trillion to put toward tax reform. So that's why we were holding back on that. But in the end, the tax reform is going to go through about this time anyway. So
yeah, why on Obamacare repeal, Tim, why can't we just do something so simple as A, let us buy across state lines. B, let the insurance companies offer those plans that many of our listeners used to have that had the high deductible and they were catastrophic coverage. You know what I mean? If we can just get two simple things like that done, that opens up the market again, because so many people, like I think one of our listeners, Ken, lost his coverage because of Obamacare put so many stipulations in saying you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to provide birth control, which now Trump has undone,
thankfully.
Is there a way that we can get just something as simple as let the market go back to the way it was?
Not with McCain in office, we can't. I mean, even reconciliation can't help us there. Even, you know, no 60 votes, whatever. I can't remember the term now. Yeah. You know, we can't seem to get that done because we got some recalcitrant Republicans.
So is that what it is, Tim? No matter what you guys do in the House, we're not going to get it past the Senate. Is that what I'm reading?
Well, that is what you're reading for the most part. And a couple of items you mentioned already, we've already taken up in the House. Sam Johnson and I, for instance, put through a bill on associated health plans. That's in the Senate. The purchase across state lines would be very easy to get across the House. I've co-sponsored that legislation already, but it's going to go nowhere in the Senate. That's the reason reconciliation was attempted to be used for the main portion of Obamacare and repeal that dealt with revenue or expenditure. That's what it has to do. So that's the challenge. But the Vice President informed us last week when he met with us in our tax reform retreat that we had in the House. He said, listen, the President is ready and willing and expecting to sign a health care policy reform plan before the end of 2018. And we have one more reconciliation approach we can take. That's for the 2019 budget, and that will be used for the reconciliation to get to the President's desk, at least something like Graham Cassidy. And I think in talking with Bill Cassidy just this last Wednesday, he feels that the President has learned a lot from the whole process, and the Senate has learned a lot from the process, and they're almost there. And now if they can use this time period to have the hearings that John McCain wants and regular order that John McCain wants, et cetera, we can get across the line. So I'm still hopeful that before the end of this term, 2018, we will have a chance to send a basic repeal to the President.
Okay. And so let me shift gears here as we wind down. Last thing, do you think the President will walk away from the Iran deal? And what is Congress's thoughts on getting out of that?
I hope so. In the House, we sent a letter to Obama expressing our displeasure and frustration that he had done that on his own, and informing him that because he had done it on his own, there was no binding relationship for Congress to support it in any way. The President, our present President, understands that. I believe he will send it back to us to deal with, and we know that Iran has proven since that deal was signed that it wasn't worth the paper it was signed on. They reneged on almost every part of that agreement, and the past administration looked the other way or said, bad boys, now let's stop that and do it again, or I'm going to put some more sanctions on. Well, that was a paper tiger. We have a different tiger in the White House right now, and a Congress, I think, that is willing to be very, very explicit on what's going on and have strong expectations that Iran will obey.
So why did Trump certify last time? Well, Trump certified that they had conforming to the agreement a few months ago, and now it's got to come up. He's got to confirm it again in order, you know, he either does or doesn't. Last time he did, I'm still curious why he confirmed it last time, whether he'll do the same thing this time. I don't know the motive.
T- Tim, are we losing you?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Now we can. Yeah.
We're getting close to Ann Arbor, and sometimes I think they block conservatives' cell.
You know, I do that too when I'm talking to somebody, and I want to pass it off. You know, oh, must be bad cell. Oh, gotta go.
No, so what Ed was asking was, Trump last time, and this is news to me, certified something, but this time he has to
certify every 3 months that they're conforming to the agreement. Is that right, Tim?
Yeah, I think all that was saying, I haven't had time to look at it yet. It's too soon in my term. I don't have the people that have been confirmed or even in place to help me on that. And basically for negotiating purposes, did it. That would be my best understanding. But right now, I think he has had plenty of counsel saying, number one, Mr. President, a president doesn't have the authority to make that type of agreement without Congress supporting it. And so I really think he's going to send it back to us, just like he did with DACA.
Okay. And then let's get one last question in, Tim. How about infrastructure bill? Do we see anything on the horizon about infrastructure bill? Can something be done?
I have a request. If there is anything, federal infrastructure funds, can you see that there's a rider in there that says no more support on a federal level for roundabouts?
I like the roundabouts. I don't know why you guys complain.
I hate them. Go ahead, Tim. How do you stand on roundabouts, Tim? This is a very important voter issue.
Yeah. Well, I personally like roundabouts as long as they're big enough to get a truck around it. And we've got a number of them out there in my district that are semi-trucks have a great difficulty in getting around them without going up over curbs and over cars alongside. So yeah. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Let me say quickly, infrastructure bill is scheduled for 2018, probably the spring of 2018. That's been on our calendar to move that. We've got For 2018, we want to have the tax reform bill signed by the end of the year. Then we go on immigration reform, infrastructure, and, oh, by the way, entitlement reform. Mm-hmm. Entitlement reform, which speaks specifically to workfare, is an 85% issue across the United States by the voters. They believe that there ought to be a social safety net, but that people ought to be encouraged to get back into the marketplace, earning their own way for able-bodied, employable individuals. So
Right. That
will be part of our schedule, which has been planned, at least in the House. I don't know what the Senate has planned, but the House calendar.
Tim?
Cheap Korean phone.
Tim? All right. It looks like we lost Tim somehow. All right. Well, anyway, thank you, Congressman Tim Walberg, 7th District, U.S. Congress. And I think we're getting – Derek, how much time we got left? Oh, that's the end of it. Well, look at that. Timing was perfect. Well, Tim, sorry about the dropped call. The People's Republic of Ann Arbor did you in. But until next week, go to thedailydrift.com. It's the news
you need to know.
And there you go. All right. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.